Welcome to the Dungeon Plunger Podcast. My name is Jason Weeb, and this is the show in which I, a real-life janitor and dungeon master, teaches you how to plunge in and run a better Dungeons & Dragons game. Without further ado, let's plunge into this week's episode, How to Master Being a Game Master. Hey everybody, welcome to the show. Let's start things off with checking out who we got calling in and emailing. We got one email here from Akila Raya Blackthorn. I hope I'm saying that right. The letter goes, loved your second episode. Love the energy and passion you have. I was listening to your podcast on speaker while gaming, and you managed to get my cousin interested in D&D, which he wasn't before. We both enjoyed it. Keep it up. Want to hear more about that new group you are playing with? I gotta say, thank you very much, Akila. It's very kind of you, and I appreciate it, and I will do my best to keep that energy up. Hopefully you and your cousin can get into some D&D. Let's move on to some phone calls. First up, we got a call from Carl Rodriguez from the GMologist Presents.
Hey, Jason, or Weeb, as Shay calls you, probably because there's too many Jasons on that channel, Hobbs and Connerly being the others. Hey, I like the debut a lot. I guess the only thing, I'll start with the, not negative, but criticism. I couldn't quite hear you over the music in the intro, but then it kind of eased out. And I did appreciate the music. It's pretty cool. Have like a metal, little rock synth vibe, which is not a bad thing. As you know, we like similar types of music and genres. So, yeah, you know, I really appreciate you commenting. I always like your comments on GMing and encouraging GMs because we don't always get it right. Sometimes there, even in a long-term play, sometimes there's like, I don't know if it's a dud session, but a session where there's not as much energy, maybe people are tired, but then it kind of bounces back. Like you say, you know, you have that really fantastic session, cool revelations, things that the players do or that they discover, because I'm kind of more about, honestly, exploration than trying to kill my players and challenge them. Although that's always fun. I mean, some players have said they love an adventure where they win by the skin of their teeth, right? So they don't like necessarily TPKs, right? Because you invest all that time. But hey, we just kind of, we're all battered and bruised and bloody, but the enemy is defeated, right? So, or they solve a fantastic puzzle and get a potentially lethal encounter. So anyway, yeah, it is up and down. And hey, they'll still be your friends at the end of the day, right? Anyway, thanks so much for the podcast. I'm glad you took the plunge. I dig the name, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Carl. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate all the phone calls, all of the communications I get. I appreciate that, you know, you pointed out that you had a real issue with how the intro worked. I did too, and I'm hoping that it's going to get better. I tried to fix the issue. Really liked what you talked about in terms of, like, you know, that sometimes we have a dud session. And in fact, I'm going to use that as a future topic. So it's in the hopper. And thanks for inspiring an episode. Just really appreciate the call, dude. Talk to you later. Next up, we've got Taylor, the Whispering GM. Taylor basically is talking about at the beginning about how I was very surprised that in my episode one, I actually ended up getting phone calls out of it. And so this is how he begins his call-in.
And you would have had more call-ins too, but you're putting them out so fast. Hot off the presses, or hot off the Audacity exporter, whichever you may use. This is Taylor over at the Whispering GM and Cleric Swear Ringmail, calling in to encourage you. It's good to hear your voice. It's good to see you hanging out, and hopefully we'll get to play games again. We haven't had a chance to play since, back getting killed in the Kalmata days. So, again, good to hear your voice. Hopefully we get to play again. And I'm really enjoying the episode art for your podcast. Talk to you later.
Hey, Taylor. Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, man. Back in the Kalmata days. Legendary Kalmata by Jason Hobbs. hopefully we'll hear that guy back on the air again. I know that he's a busy dude these days. Also, I do use Audacity. It's a pretty cool program. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for the support. I really appreciate it. You have a good one, and everybody should go and check out Taylor, the Whispering GM, and Clerics Wear Ringmail, which I believe is his blog. All right. Next call, we've got Evil Jeff from the Minions and Musings podcast. Let's hear what Mr. Evil Jeff has to say.
Weeb, it's Evil Jeff. All right, so I listened to the first episode. Great first podcast. Great content. I want to say that your mic sounds primo. I think you've got that really well set up. I know you were kind of worried about that, and you did a whole bunch of research. But in the end, I think that microphone really works well. You sound great in it. In fact, you sound so great that I hate you. I don't know if I can listen to you anymore. It's probably going to give me a complex and make me stop podcasting or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I guess I might look forward to more content, but if you keep sounding that good, I'm just going to give it up, or I guess. I don't know. We'll talk with you later.
Ugh, Evil Jeff. You wound me, my friend. I mean, on the one hand, I am honored that A, you called in, and B, that you felt that my podcast sounds so buttery, delicious, sweet. Let's face it, can I really compete with a southern drawl like that? I don't think so. Men want to be you, and women want to be with you. You know what I'm saying, buddy? So don't hang up those headphones just yet. Stay on the airwaves. We need the Evil Jeffs to spread the good word. Chat later. Moving on, we've got the one. Well, maybe not the one, but the one of the many Jasons. Jason Connerly calling in. Let's hear what Mr. Connerly has to say.
Hey, Jason, the other Jason. Just finished Play Like You Don't Have a Pair. Really enjoyed the episode. I do have a question for you. When playing, and it might take a couple more sessions to find out, but when playing with your awesome new group of new players, you mentioned a couple of them had been watching actual plays. And I'm curious what their thoughts are of the difference of really being at the table compared to watching those actual plays. If they had expectations that, you know, they felt were unfulfilled, or if it was, you know, things happened at the table they didn't expect to happen. You know what I mean? And they may not be willing to come on the podcast and actually do an interview with you to discuss that, but even if you kind of just got their general thoughts and relayed them, I'd be really curious on that. So thank you for all that you're doing. Look forward to what you do in the future, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Jason, thanks so much for your call. Reached out to my group, asked them a bunch of questions related to what you were saying. Let's hear what they had to say. Well, first, Da says, response to, I asked what they were watching, basically how they felt, and did it meet their expectations, or was anything surprising? And so she responds, the show that she was watching on YouTube is called Viva La Dirt League. They have two campaigns on there, The Adventures of Azarim and The Tales of the Misfits, which she says is an all-girl campaign. She says, for me, watching players go and how the DMs works with a story is like an introduction to D&D, and I look forward to watching the next episode they release. Also, what I like with them is that they reenact their campaign at the same time, and they are pure chaos. So far, playing is pretty much what I expected, slash what we saw, though they do use a lot of visuals for the channel than we did, but it's not something that bothers me so much. I see it enough in my mind. What we did was plenty. They like to be more fancy. Yeah, I tend to run a pretty low-key game. I like to have some battle maps, I like to have little figurines, but for the most part, I tend to do things theater of the mind. Nessa responds, for me, what you drew was enough to fuel my own imagination. I really appreciate that, and this is a sentiment that's repeated a few times. Gabby said that her expectations were fully met. Yay! For me, watching the YouTube channel took a bit of the, I guess, the intimidation factor away from learning what on the surface level felt, to her at least, like such a complex game. It says that, "I was able to focus on the story you were building in our first session without being completely distracted by learning the mechanics of the game. The fancy schmancy stuff from the YouTube channel is nice and enjoyable to watch as a show, but what you drew out for us was plenty to keep us in the mind space of where we were and what was happening. It was easy to stay engaged as we played, and I 10 out of 10 recommend for anyone sitting on the fence to give it a try." I don't even know how to respond to that. I felt like that makes my heart feel full. Thank you, Gabby. I appreciate that. Mel says, "I went in a bit blind. I mean, I knew D&D from TV and movies and from what friends told me about it, but honestly, I'm so easily amused that whatever you had done, I would have loved. The whole point is it's imaginary, and whatever other people did made it hilarious. So yes, 100% adored every second of it. I just remember staring at my character sheet most of the time, because my character is so awesome." And you know why? Partly because I made that character for you, but also because of the person behind that character sheet. You go, girl. I hope that answers the questions, Jason, and I hope that's helpful for other people listening. I've had a lot of fun with this group. We're going to be meeting again. Well, by the time this show comes out, we'll have already met again. And we'll see where it goes from there. I hope that we'll have some future sessions after we finish up Winter's Daughter. But it's been really great, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to mine some more material for the podcast that, you know, people can take and use for their own benefit. All right. Last but not least, I have a call-in that I got from episode 1. I saved for this episode because this is what I wanted to build the entire next segment of the show around. Let's hear from a call-in from Riley of the Diegetic Advancement podcast.
Hey Jason, Riley here. Really enjoyed your first episode. Enjoyed your episode with Che as well. Welcome to podcasting. Hope you enjoy it. It's fun. Really great at first episode, so I'm looking forward to hearing more. Great points on just doing it, and I'm doing my best Shia LaBeouf impression. You know, a lot of game prep can become procrastination from actually playing, so it's important to make sure that you're doing that either because you enjoy it. You know, you can do that stuff just because it's fun in and of itself, but make sure that it's you're not holding up running your game because you're not quite ready yet. It is best to jump in. And in a way, I find that GM is kind of easy. And then in another way, it's kind of hard. But I think you do just need to jump into it and you'll get better, as you said. I'd be interested to hear if you got any thoughts on how to get better. You know, obviously you can just run games and you will get better. But do you have any thoughts on if there's a way to be more purposeful or thoughtful with your practice? Anyway, bye for now.
Thank you so much for your call, Riley. Really appreciate it. And I really like a lot of what you had to say there, especially the idea about being purposeful in how we approach game mastering, how to be more purposeful and intentional in terms of how we get better at game mastering. And really, that's the whole purpose of this show, is to basically do that. You know, how do we become better game masters? And I think we can do that through a lot of different kinds of ways. So my intention is to put out actionable tips, things that you can try to make your game better. With that being said, I wanted to focus the main segment of the show around addressing that very topic, because to be honest, it wasn't something that I'd actually thought about. Without further ado, let's get into the main topic. How to Master Being a Game Master. So here's a little story time. I don't remember exactly how old I was. I was probably like 33 or 34. I had recently been laid off from my job as a delivery dude. I was one of those white van guys. You know, you see them driving around all day, but you don't actually see them. Now, I guarantee that I've mentioned it, you're gonna see them everywhere. Despite having unemployment benefits, I was freaking out at the time. I'm like, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna pay my bills? How am I gonna take care of my family? I mean, I definitely could, and I was, looking for a new job, but I also saw that there was an opportunity. One of the things that I think is really great about living in Canada is the provincial and federal governments here invest in the people, give us an opportunity to improve our skills so that we can find better jobs and make more money. In return, we're able to put that investment back into the economy, provide increased tax revenue, but we're also able to fulfill those much needed jobs that are in demand. Really, everybody wins. But I'm not gonna lie, I was scared shitless, but I was also super excited. So one of the things that I think everybody can do is when you don't know what to do, you make a list. And that's what I did. I started to make a list of things that I thought I wanted to do with my life. I made a list of what I would need to be successful at those things. What ended up happening was that the next 5 years of my life were become some of the most impactful years of my life in ways that I never could have. I started school. I think every student ends up having that one teacher that leaves them with an indelible impression. And I was lucky because I feel like I had more than a few of those. But one teacher in particular, she saw something in me. I had a lot of doubts as to my ability to learn. Going back to school at 35 was definitely scary. Most of that had to do with because I always thought I was an idiot. You know, I sucked at math. I got bad marks in pretty much everything. Really, the only exception came when I was in my English classes and I was doing writing. But this teacher told me something that I thought I would never hear. She said, "Jason, you're an academic." I mean, I was shocked. I would have never thought that I would hear that. And then she said, "Every teacher dreams of having a student like you in their class." There was something that she said much later on. It was a quote and it says, "When the student is ready, the teacher will appear." I had no idea. The full quote is, "When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When the student is truly ready, the teacher will disappear." Lao Tzu, who this quote is attributed to. What I love about this quote is that it feels like something that Morpheus from The Matrix would say to Neo. I feel like there's 100% truth to it. I don't know how many times I've had this experience where I was at a point where I was ready to do something. I decided, okay, I'm going to make this happen. And then inevitably, something or someone entered my life who was able to give me the guidance that I needed to work through that process. I definitely think that we can apply this to game mastering, and so that's something that I wanted to talk about. The real question put forth by Riley here is like, how do we get better? Like, what are the things that we can do to actually get better at being a game master? Yes, we can definitely, you know, repetition, just playing games is going to make us better. How do we be more intentional about what it is that we do? Quite frankly, I didn't feel like I was qualified to answer this question. When I just thought about the scope of it, I was like, wow, how do we actually get better at things? One of the big things that I've discovered is that when I don't know how to do something, I like to go to YouTube. YouTube has so many tutorials on how to do something, whether it was how to fix things at my house that were broken. It's been absolutely incredible. I feel like my confidence and my skill at various things have improved vastly because of it. I did a little bit of a search on YouTube and I found this great video by this dude named Tim Hill. He's talking about a book called Get Better at Anything by Scott H. Young. I put a link in the show notes so you can take a look at it. He kind of goes over it. So I just wanted to sort of like take a look at what he says and then, you know, how can we apply that to game mastering? So one of the first things that he says, step one, if we want to learn how to do something better, we should watch somebody else do the thing. And I think when it comes to game mastering, that was traditionally the way that people learned how to play the game. That was how I learned, but there was one game master in particular who I really looked up to and who I attempted to emulate, better or for worse, what he did and then apply that to my game. I think the important thing with that is that we all have to develop sort of our own style in terms of like, how do, you know, what do we like? What do we not like? You know, make that our own. Kind of like how Bruce Lee took a bunch of different types of martial arts. And he basically says, take what works and get rid of what doesn't work. That's what you do. I think definitely, you know, we can go online, play, you know, be a player in a lot of games. And then you will be able to see what those game masters do and take away what they do and be able to either say, yes, I really like what they do, or I don't like what they do. Then apply those same things to your games. The second step is that you need to do it. So do or do not. There is no try, as Master Yoda would like to say. You actually need to run games. There's no way about getting around that. Watching and reading about game mastering is definitely not the same thing as just doing it. Just like driving a car and playing Grand Theft Auto are two completely different things. But let's say you are actually running a game right now. Well, what can we do to make them better? According to the book, Get Better at Anything, surprisingly, quantity of output is more important than the quality of the output, which really surprised me. Apparently, that's what it says. We want to run as many games as we can, as often as we can, and try not to stress about making them the best games ever, but just to like do them. Second, we want small wins. Whenever we first begin at anything, competence or ability is low. Instead of trying to run a very complicated game and open, you know, a very complicated open world game with a myriad of factions, NPCs, intrigue, or, you know, even attempting to run, you know, some sort of massive pre-written adventure, I think it's important to start small. I think you should start with a small 5-room dungeon, or, you know, even just a handful of encounters, something little. When you run those things, you can feel a sense of accomplishment that's going to help you build your confidence. I think that even running a small linear adventure, though many in the community deride the fact of like linear adventures, I do think that a very good way to start building up that level of skill and give you that confidence boost that you need so that eventually, you know, you can run more complicated scenarios. Step 3 is feedback. How do we know if we're improving? We need to get some sort of feedback in order to know that. In practical terms, that means that our players need to be honest with us and let us know if we're doing a good job. And this can be a very difficult thing because our players are our friends and they want to spare our feelings. Another thing that you might be able to do is keep a journal. You can track outcomes from the game. I'm not exactly sure what kind of hard data might be worth noting and tracking. That would have to be something that you decide on your own. What exactly are the outcomes that you're looking for? Let's say you're running a hex crawl. How well did your exploration rules for hex crawling work? What if, you know, you're running a chase? How well did the chase work? Were there things that you would change? I think what I would do personally, basically just write down a few notes about things that I thought worked well or didn't work well, what you might be able to do to be able to like fix those things in the future. Just experiments that you would like to try to be able to say, okay, you know, next time we're going to try this. Or, you know, that didn't really work the way I wanted it to, so we're going to try this instead. You know, finally, step 4, fear. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer, from Dune, Frank Herbert. We can't let our fear of getting it wrong stop us from doing what we want us to do. It's normal to be afraid as a GM. I've definitely made myself physically ill by being worried about running a game. In the end, I never had anything to worry about. The important thing to remember is that we're all here for a good time. Take a deep breath, count to 5, exhale, and know that you got this. Here's 3 things. Start with a solid game structure. I think the dungeon crawl, if you're doing a fantasy game, the dungeon crawl is probably the most simple game that you could run. And I think it's a great way to build confidence and skill. Once you've built a little bit of confidence, then you can try other scenario structures like mysteries, exploration, hex crawls, raids, etc. I think starting with a dungeon is probably the best thing that you could do. If you don't want to do a fantasy game, any kind of like a site-based game is probably the way to go. Number 2 is to join a community of like-minded individuals. And chances are there's many of you that are already doing this. There are plenty of blogs, forums, Discord servers that you can join and then talk with like-minded individuals. I know that everyone on those places is super hyped to talk about their own opinions, their own ideas, and share their war stories. It gives you a place where you can bounce ideas off of each other and then talk about it, you know, see what worked for you, what didn't work for you, and maybe give you some things that you can apply in your own game that you had never even thought about. Third, get a coach. What do I mean by that? I think many of us have that one friend who is that long-term GM, just like I did when I'd first started. I've had many of those GM tete-a-tetes where, you know, you talk with another game master. But I think in this particular case, you want to find somebody who you admire, pump them for advice about, you know, what has worked for them. Not only that, you know, they can provide the support, encouragement in a more private and intimate way than you would in a larger community. Because sometimes, you know, we get so overwhelmed with what's happening in a larger community that it's really hard to sort of distinguish. You know, you're getting a lot of conflicted advice about, oh, do this. Oh, I would never do that. Whereas if you have one person that you trust, I think that would help a lot in terms of improving that confidence, improving that skill. That's it for this week, folks. I just wanted to throw it back to you guys, the listeners. What do you think we can all do to become better game masters? I am definitely not a pro, don't have all the answers, and I'd be really curious to hear what you have to say. Drop me a line at dungeonplunger@gmail.com if you want to leave a letter, or send a message on my SpeakPipe and I will play it on the show and I will respond to you. I always love getting call-ins. It makes the show so much better. I would like to thank everybody for listening. Thank you to all those who wrote in and all of my callers. I super appreciate it. The music is by Alexander Kizanaku. Hopefully I said that right. Cover art. We got new cover art, everybody. John McNally. Woo! Smoking cover art. Love it. Thank you so much, John. Like I said, leave a message at the SpeakPipe or at dungeonplunger@gmail.com. And remember, when you're plunging into the dungeon and nature calls, watch out for mimics disguised as toilets, because they're a pain in the ass. Peace out!